Hello, and welcome to the Digital Workspace Works podcast. I'm Ryan Purvis, your host, supported by our producer Heather Bicknell. In this series, you'll hear stories and opinions from experts in the field, stories from the front lines, the problems they face and how they solve them, the areas they focused on from technology, people and processes, to the approaches they took that will help you to get to the grips with the digital workspace inner workings.
Have you been?
It's been good. I mean, I think it's actually been months, not even weeks. When was the last time we spoke? I can't even remember.
Well, it's a good question. I caught my hair after Thanksgiving, so at least not since end of November.
Sure.
How were your holidays?
I've just been really busy with work and stuff. You know, two startups, both going through what they go through. It's chaotic. That's why we haven't chatted, because every time I've booked us in, some fire drill has occurred that's required me to cancel and go and deal with that. So yeah, that's my December, really, most of January.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry. Sounds like you've been through a lot. And on the tech part, I can certainly empathize. I feel like, you know, startups are their own beast, of course, but the industry as a whole has not been very stable. So I think a lot of us have been running around a bit these last few months. And unfortunately, I'm not sure it's going to let up soon, but here we are.
Oh, that's interesting. So I am, it's a funny story. So I have been looking everywhere for the Battlestar Galactica series that I can get and buy. But when I've looked online to buy it, it's been pretty expensive to buy. So I've bought a secondhand set for about £12. So what's that? Maybe $15, $16. The whole, everything, all the movies, I think it's all the movies. It's 25 discs, give or take, which is quite funny because I don't actually have a DVD player, except for my old external DVD thing that came with my first Mac Mini back in 2012. So this little thing's still operating. So that's credit to Apple on that one. So what I'm doing is I'm now ripping all of them to files so I can watch them on my iPad and that kind of stuff. Because I think if I bought it through Amazon Prime or one of those guys, it was like $50 to do it. And then the problem is you're beholden to that app and how they decide give it to you and all the rest of this. Now I'm ripping it to the format that I want and all that kind of stuff. But it's interesting how Apple has improved so many things, but actually become worse at so many things. So the first thing is you can't tell Apple anywhere in that operating system now to not autoplay a DVD, because they don't expect you to have a DVD player anymore. So every time I put a new disc in, it starts the DVD and plays.
That was the start of a Battlestar episode.
It was just I think it's MGM or whoever the Universal, you know, starting off loud noise thing. And normally I can sort of catch it in time to kill the window, because all I do is kill the window, then it's fine. But it's funny how, because they've progressed away from, we've all progressed away from the CDs and DVDs. I mean, how many CDs and DVDs do you buy? None. You know, I always go to the secondhand DVD shop. It's like a whole lot of whenever I want to buy a new hardware or a new kit, I always go to the secondhand place, because there's always somebody who's bought the thing, doesn't like it, and then they sell it for nothing. And then I can go buy something secondhand that I probably wouldn't have bought brand new, and it's probably still in good condition. So, you know, this box set was available. If I bought it, let's say $50 online as a streaming only thing, but buying the box set is $12. I can go sell this back again and probably make the $12 back for the 25 discs. Or I might get $5 back. But, you know, I get what I wanted out of it. But I'd probably keep the box set, because it's actually quite a nice box set. And, you know, when I lived in South Africa, I had about 500 DVDs at the time.
And collection.
Yeah, and when I sold them, because we were moving to the UK, it bought me a plane ticket. Now, and I'm not even joking, it actually paid for the plane ticket. Like, I think it was 7,000 Rand for the plane ticket. And I got like 6,800 Rand or something for my box set, my series. And if I had the same amount of discs now, 500 movies or whatever it is, I probably wouldn't even make £250 out of that. I'd probably get back maybe £100. Yeah. It just shows you how, like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the material. The content's still good. The content's still whatever it is. But because it's such a commoditized thing now, it just has no value, unless it's in pristine condition and it's a collector's item. Like, a lot of my DVDs weren't even opened. I just bought them because I like the box looked nice. It was like the limited edition Back to the Future box set, you know, only 1,000 of them made in the world. that one alone was like worth a grand, 1,000 rand, so £50. I think when I bought it, I probably paid £100 for it. So it had no value then either, because it was in pristine condition, I managed to negotiate it up a bit. But if I'd watched the DVDs and broken the seal, it would have been worth nothing. And you just don't have that anymore because everything's online. You can stream it all. And, you know, having that wall of DVDs, like you had a wall of books. I mean, people still buy books, but I don't think people still buy DVDs. You can't, like, if you go and buy, I mean, yeah, I say that tongue in cheek, because you can go to like the local supermarket and you'll see a wall of DVDs and a wall of CDs. And you can still go to HMV, which is still, you know, there's still a few of those. That was the place to buy media in London in the days. You can still go there and you can still buy CDs and you can still buy vinyls. So there are people that still do it, but it's just such a weird concept that for a lot of people, that, like, my kids have no idea. Like, if I just, like, I had to show them a DVD, they'd have no idea what that thing is.
We're at that point, huh?
Well, we are, because, you know, like, this is how long we haven't spoken for. So CJ and I, my son, are writing a book series now using ChatGPT, and we're generating.
Oh, wow.
We're generating. So every night we sit and he tells me what he wants the story to be about. And when I say he tells me, he tells ChatGPT what he wants his story to be about. So we've created our own GDP, and the series is called Dark Thunder. And it's about, I mean, the story behind this is that when he was at a certain age, he got tired of me reading him stories. And I think I got tired of reading him stories because we had the same books and we read the same books and same books. And there were certain books that I didn't want him to, like, there's a Nelson Mandela book, which is a very good book. But at some point in the story, it says how his father died. And CJ used to get very focused on that his father died. So it's like, you know, the story is good. And I want to, you know, obviously it's very important part of my history and his history. But, you know, every time I read the book to him, he would get focused on the father dying and he'd worry about me dying. And, you know, anyway, so to avoid that, we made up a character, which was Dark Thunder. Now, Dark Thunder, so CJ is very much into his cars. And when during COVID and stuff, he watched the Cars movies all the time. So he's fixated on cars. So originally Dark Thunder was a friend of Lightning McQueen's, but more like Knight Rider-esque than Lightning McQueen, because CJ doesn't like cars with eyes. So the whole idea of a
personalized... They're just creepy, or...
Yeah, he doesn't like it. And this is the funny thing. So when I was doing the stuff with it, what had happened is I would tell him the story about Dark Thunder on this adventure. And he would say, like, Daddy, I don't want you to read me a story. I want you to tell me a story about Dark Thunder. And then we would invent a story about, like, I'd say, so what happened to Dark Thunder? He goes, oh no, he'd tell me about the race that he won on the beach, or tell me about the whatever. And I'd have to make up the story and tell it to him. And, you know, sometimes you just run out of ideas because there's only so many ways you can say he won the race or he lost the race or whatever it was. So, but I recorded them. So I've got a whole lot of transcribed, you know, me telling him stories. And sometimes I have to tell him 6 or 7 stories in a night about this character. And I used to admit new characters and all this stuff. And because I did so much of them, I was like, you know what? And there's actually a local guy here where I live in Horsham. He's written like 5 books, but he's animated them. He's drawn them himself. And he's got, they're like good stories. And they're all about, you know, they all educate you on something about it. And I always thought, you know, I'd really like to do the same thing with Dark Thunder. But I'm not a good, you know, I don't have any artistic abilities. And, you know, I don't want to go down the whole route of paying someone to make the designs and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of put on the back burner. And then in one of my random conversations with a person who booked time with me, he said, oh, you know, you should really look at ChatGPT and make your own. Like, I don't know how we got into the subject, but he's like, let me show you. And we spent like 5 minutes. And I'm saying it literally took us 5 minutes to make the first GPT for Dark Thunder. So, you know, and the way you make it is you go create, as long as you're on a premium account, you create the GPT. You then go, and I've created lots of these now, you basically go through a workflow-esque where you talk to the GPT. And you explain what you want to do. And you basically provide the parameters and the constraints for what your GPT is going to do. And then you can have it generate a whole bunch of images as well. And then what you do is you store the images against your GPT. You can also upload files that it can interpret and load as part of that thing. So, you know, some of those stories, I uploaded those stories that had some frame of reference to it. And then we created characters, you know, like CJ and his sister are characters in the book. And then every night we talk. CJ talks to his GPT, and he tells, because there's a on the iPad app, you just press the microphone button and he just says, you know, I want this and this and this. And it'll tell the story. And then you can also tell it to draw a picture. So what we do is we go generate a story, and it writes like maybe, you know, 5 chapters, and each chapter is like a paragraph long. And one of the things that was very important to me was in defining the GPT is always going to be about teamwork, perseverance, helping somebody, you know, honesty, all these sort of value system things. And it tells the story each time, and then it reiterates that this story tells you how CJ and MJ helped this person, because helping people and teamwork is very important to being a good human and all this stuff. And it's amazing. We've done it. We've probably done, since we started, maybe 60 stories, 80 stories. And the nice thing is that every morning he tells me an idea, and then I can generate straight away then if I want to. Well, that's how we started. I'd say, tell me your idea. Then I generate them, and I generate all the images. So I'd show them to, because the images take like 5-6 seconds to generate, which is not a long time. But I don't want him to, what I'm trying to avoid is him, like, while he's waiting for the thing, he starts doing other stuff. I want him to stay focused on what we're doing. But, you know, we'll do like 5 images a night, 2 or 3 stories. And he's seeing this generating. Now, he's going to grow up in a world where this stuff always existed for him. Meanwhile, we've seen it transition in. And, you know, what I bought him a laptop now. And what I'm hoping he'll start doing, now that he's getting closer to the 6-7-year-old range, is that he'll start doing it himself. So by the time he gets to 10, you know, he will be proficient in it, if not sooner. Because, I mean, my daughter's 3 and she's already starting to do it, which is frightening. If you think about a 3-year-old who's talking to a GDP, and she, I mean, her vocab is pretty good for a 3-year-old, but she knows already to say things like, Alexa, turn off the TV. Alexa, turn on the light. So she will have no clue if that shit doesn't work. If there's no voice act. I mean, in fact, I'll tell you another story where this doesn't work. So we went, Kirsten and I stayed in a hotel the night before I put in hospital, and they don't have phones in this hotel. What they have instead is a Google Play, or the Google voice thing, the equivalent of an Alexa. And the thing is, a bloody thing doesn't work, because how they've done it is they've obviously created a Google account for every box that you have in every room. And then what you say is, you know, Google call reception. So it phones reception. So you can phone them, but the microphone is terrible. You can hardly hear them. You know, it's not a good experience. And then we were trying to move our dinner reservation. So we called them, and then they called us back, but we never got the call back. So they said they called us 7 times. We never got it back. And then we had other issues, like the Wi-Fi wasn't working. And I actually said to them when I left, you could actually hear the Wi-Fi dropping, because all these boxes were dropping. You could hear them like, ping, no Wi-Fi, and then come back on again. So I said, you got a problem with your Wi-Fi in the building. Oh, no, we don't. I said, listen to me. I've sat there and I've listened to all of them go doop, doop, beep, 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 going off. You got a problem. So it's a great idea, but in execution was not a great idea.
Wow. So what I'm fascinated by, the storytelling technique, it reminds me of a choose your own adventure story, in that you get that personal autonomy element, but it's like that on steroids. So you mentioned sort of adding values that you wanted to instill into the stories as part of the prompt. Did you add like reading level, or kind of what were the other parameters if someone wants to go kind of try this themselves that you played with?
Yeah, great point. So when we set it up, it was exactly that, you know, make this at the reading level of a 5-year-old who has basic literacy, English speaking, that sort of thing. What else did we do? Well, you can play with it a bit. So you basically start setting up, and then you can train it while you're doing it. So for example, about the eyes. So every time I was generating the images of the eyes, the cars of the eyes, I'd say, no, you can't generate that. You have to generate it without the eyes. So what you have to be very careful of is, because we've modeled Dark Thunder off, you know, the Knight 2000, you know, Knight Rider, because CJ loves Knight Rider. I've showed him the old Knight Rider stuff, so he's aware of all that stuff, Airwolf, you know, all the good 80s sitcoms. So he knows what Knight Rider is. He knows what Kit is. So what he understands, what the AI doesn't understand, is that when he says Dark Thunder did this, is he's not personifying Dark Thunder as a vehicle with a personality. He is personifying Dark Thunder as a vehicle with an AI, who just happens to be able to vocalize, exactly like Kit works. But ChatGPT does not understand that. So it keeps drawing cars. Every time we say Dark Thunder did this thing, it draws the car with eyes, which we have to always say no eyes. And we literally have to repeat no eyes, no eyes, for like 6 or 7 prompts just to make them, to get what we want. But what you do is you upload the images you like, and it sticks to it. So we've followed some of the canon to some extent that Knight Rider had, in the sense that it had the ability to change shape. So if you look at the old version of Knight Rider back in the 80s, you know, it would go into pursuit mode, and it would have like a modification that made it look a bit bigger, and it could, you know, to put out the high speed maneuvers and the jumping and the boosting and all that kind of stuff. But when you watch the new version, that was the remake, you know, they went obviously a lot further. So Knight Rider or the kit vehicle in that instance could change into a truck, you know, full sort of Ford, the 150, I think it is. I think that's what they modeled on. Mm-hmm. So the really big, a really big vehicle versus this. Mm-hmm. And I think they used a Ford Mustang in the remake as opposed to a Camaro was the first one. But, you know, because we've extended it in our own version, you know, so our AI-driven vehicle is not limited by any shape because the whole thing is made out of our own compound using nanites and whatever it is. So we completely, so you can just change the parameters however you want. So every story we tell, and CJ loves to like say, well, today the Dark Thunder is going to be a cruise ship, and then it's a speedboat, and then it's a submarine, and then it's a this and that. It generates all that stuff in context of what we've told it in the beginning, plus the story we're telling. And it remembers things like, and it creates the things that you wanted to create. So the world that it's developing, you know, what town are you in where this adventure is happening? Often there's a race in a different town. It invents the new race. It invents the new town for us. It invents the race for us. It invents the characters for us in line with our story. So we don't have to think about that stuff. But we can also remind it to bring in like an arch nemesis that it previously raced against or another character. You know, who, so the idea with Dark Thunder is that they found the vehicle in a junkyard that they were shouldn't have been playing in. And it was invented by a crazy professor who disappeared. So we've got images of the crazy professor, you know, and then finding the sort of designs and all the rest of it and learning about this vehicle through little clues that they find. But now we've just kind of, as we've talked about it, just invented that, like, every day is a different part of the story. And it is. To some extent, I was thinking, you know, there's a lot of series that I've read over time, you know, 8, 9, 10 books written by an author. And I'm thinking you could literally never end the series. Like you could just every day generate a new chapter and the story can go left, go right, go up or down, whatever it is, because the AI could just, as long as it stays in sort of canon, it could just carry going on and on and on. So you never finish the book because the book never ends.
Hmm. Wow. You know what? It just made me think of, I wonder if anyone's try to finish A Song of Ice and Fire with a GPT yet.
That actually would be, well, it's interesting you sort of use that as an example because, you know, a part of that creativity that he brings to that series is what's in his head, what his vision is. And only he really knows where it's going, I think, to some extent. But in context of it, yeah, they probably could have.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to think about creatively because we saw how the TV show Game of Thrones played out, which I think was, you know, a lot of fans took issue with the final seasons there when they kind of ran out of his material. So I'd be curious to see.
Oh, huge issue with the way they finished it. I thought it was I would rather they have canceled season 8.
Yeah.
And let us all pissed off that they never finished it, then finished it off as badly as they did.
So how's the quality of the story? Like, have you noticed, does it get richer and improve over time?
Well, yeah, let me bring it up. I'll read one to you. In fact, let me share my screen so you can see some images.
Wow.
So just random, huh? I mean, you know, I've just picked one. So here is Dark Thunder and the Mountain Rescue. So the prompt I said here was just tell us a Dark Thunder story today based on real events. That was a prompt. I was feeling a bit lazy. So it's written, how many chapters here? 5, I think. 4 chapters, so pretty quick. So chapter 1, the call for help. In the small, peaceful town of Ridgeville, nestled between the lush forests and towering mountains, CJ and MJ Speeder were tinkering with their beloved car, Dark Thunder. They had just installed a new navigation system, hoping to explore more challenging terrains. As they tested the system, a distress call crackled through the radio. Urgent help needed at Mount Ridge. Hikers trapped by a sudden landslide, the dispatcher announced. Without hesitation, CJ revved Dark Thunder's engine. Time for a mountain rescue, he declared. So, I mean, what I find interesting is that it doesn't always write the story like CJ got up, threw his tools in the thing and jumped in the car. Like that little bit of context I find is always missing. But, you know, so MJ nodded, her eyes focused. Let's do this, Dark Thunder. Now, when we set up the characters, obviously CJ is my son and MJ is my daughter. CJ is far more the like me in the sense of action-oriented, do stuff. Mila is a far more calculating, smart, savvy personality. And that's exactly how the story's done. So it always keeps to that. Chapter 2, the race against time. As they approached the mountain, terrain became rougher. Dark Thunder, sensing the change, transformed smoothly into its 4x4 mode. The siblings navigated the rocky paths with precision, guided by MJ's quick thinking and CJ's expert driving. We're almost there, CJ said, eyes on the road. Hang on. Doc Thunder's purple hubs glowed brightly, illuminating the path ahead as the sun began to set. So purple hubs was always an important feature for us of Doc Thunder, because when I made up the character, I had built a car in Disneyland that I'd used. It was a black body, a Batmobile, but I'd used blue and red hubs, but I wanted purple. And that was the closest I could get. So, you know, that's always been a key feature of the thing. So chapter 3, the rescue, reaching the site, they found the hikers stranded on a small ledge with debris blocking their way. MJ quickly devised a plan. Using Dark Thunder's winch and cables, they carefully cleared the path, ensuring the hikers' safety. One by one, the hikers were guided to Dark Thunder. The siblings worked tirelessly, showcasing their teamwork and determination. With everyone safe, they made their way back, the stars shining brightly above. So see, it's brought the values in, which is, you know, without making it a big deal. But and then also, you know, incorporated that this is a vehicle that can do almost anything. You know, it's got winch and cables, which if it was a sports car, which was the original design, it wouldn't have had winches and cables. Chapter 4, Heroes of Ridgeville. Back in town, the hikers and townspeople gathered around, thanking CJ, MJ, and Dark Thunder for their bravery. The mayor of Ridgeville even arrived to commend them. "You've shown true courage and resourcefulness today," the mayor said, smiling. As they celebrated, CJ and MJ knew that this was more than just a rescue mission. It was a testament to their bond, their beloved Dark Thunder, and the values they held dear. Teamwork, innovation, resilience, respect, and a love for learning. Dark Thunder, with its headlight shining proudly, seemed to hum in agreement. Another adventure concluded, but many more awaited the Speeder siblings and the extraordinary car. So Speeder was just a random surname we picked. And also, you see, here it's forgotten that actually Dark Thunder can speak. So instead of humming in agreement, it should have said it's spoken. So there's slightly little bit nuances where it misses stuff. And then we said, draw a picture for the thing. So there's the picture. Now, the problem with these pictures sometimes, I mean, this is a great, it looks really cool. It's like, you know, as you can see, but, you know, it's supposed to be a 4x4.
Who's on top of the car? I see.
So it's written. It's the hiker. But you see, it's in 4x4 mode. But you see, in my mind, it would have been a truck, not a 4x4 car. But, it, you know, anyway. And then, so we said, no, draw it again. So here's the all-terrain truck version. So now you get a different version. Then CJ wanted to see a speedboat. So now you see the car riding on water. Now submarine. Now it's a car riding really fast and thing, but now we've got missiles and torpedoes, which I don't know. Then we found this one. So he really liked this picture of the speedboat, but it looks nothing like Dark Thunder now. But this is just him saying things. Now, then we add another story. So I won't read that one. But this was a race. But now you see we've got Dark Thunder as a classic vehicle, which is completely random because we never said once be a classic vehicle. So that's where it goes a little bit awry. But, you know, it's just fun for CJ. You know, he just gets to have fun with it. And this is this actual story, the one I'm showing you now. I just said, just tell a story for today. It made up this whole thing about the mystery of Echo Canyon, which I thought was quite cool because I never gave it any direction. So it just came up with this thing. And then it got stuck. It just stopped. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so it says here, without hesitation, CJ and MJ stopped to help using Dark Thunder's toolkit. But then it just stopped, just died. So I had to draw a picture. And then I said, please continue the story. And it just carried on, like chapter 4. Okay, so it obviously didn't finish that one, but it just carried on in context of what it was doing, which I thought was really good. So I think, you know, in some respects, it's not perfect, but geez, I mean, we can put together, I said to CJ, like, we can have a picture book, we can do a bunch of print-on-demand books on Amazon. I mean, just a case of when do I have time to do this, but, you know, so Mila loves Frozen. So we did.
I love the Elsa. Bring Elsa on it in.
Well, you see, so this is where it's very clever. So I said, can you draw Dark Thunder in Frozen Land with Elsa and Anna? And it replies straight away, look, I can't do that because it's copyrighted, but I can do something that's similar. Now, it used to tell me it couldn't do anything. So they've obviously made an improvement somewhere. Mm. But I said, yeah, just do a simile. So here we have Dark Thunder as its race car shape with two kids that could be Anna and Elsa, but it doesn't show any frozen material. It's not any breach of copyright. But Mila loves it because it's a snow. So she thinks it's frozen. And then CJ was asking things like a huge cargo ship. And then it sometimes does these strange things. But, you know, and then I was saying to him, well, I want something with a spring box. It couldn't be the spring box, but I could do the South African colors. So it did this one, which had nothing to do with Dark Thunder. It was just a weird random thing. But then I've got one now with Dark Thunder and the spring box because we are the fourth time world champions. And then it's done a whole story for me on this with the Springboks. And you can see Dark Thunder being tackled by them. And then we were doing some stuff with Land Rover and then Lamborghini. And then that one was just completely missed the boat on that picture. And then we did a Land Rover because, you know, we got a Land Rover and we're looking at different Land Rovers. Now I've got a whole other stream of text where we've done Land Rover versions. And it's unbelievable how it's captured the Land Rover, but also merged with Dark Thunder. And then we're back to Lamborghinis. And then we did some safari truck ones. So there's a safari truck. There's another Land Rover one. There's a Jeep. There's a super fast cargo ship. CJ's now into boats at the moment, I think. I think it's coming. but you see, I mean, it's just amazing how the way it's put the thing together is just fascinating. So here's some of the more original stuff. So there's an armored version. There's a camouflage. So yeah, so we'll do it. We're going to do a book series because I just think it's fun. And you know, from a kid growing up point of view, I think it's just amazing that he's going to have this when he's, you know, he's turning six in a week's time, 2 weeks time. You know, at 6 years old, he'll have his first book out. Because
yeah, I remember being really jealous as a child of all the precocious kids who published books when they were super young. Yeah, you probably need to go. We're running a little bit over. But yeah, this was super fun, though. I think folks should look at the video version if they're listening on audio just to see, you know, get the full effect of Dark Thunder. But I'll let you go.
Good to catch up with you.
Until next time. You too. See ya. Bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Heather Bicknell is our producer and editor. Thank you, Heather, for your hard work on this episode. Please subscribe to the series and rate us on iTunes or the Google Play Store. Follow us on Twitter at the DWW Podcast. The show notes and transcripts will be available on the website, www.digitalworkspace.works. Please also visit our website, www.digitalworkspace.works, and subscribe to our newsletter. And lastly, if you found this episode useful, please share with your friends or colleagues.